Hello, and welcome to the Jim Baker Show, coming to you from the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Today is day two with our special guests, Dr. Tom Horn, Donna Howell, and Allie Anderson. Our co-hosts today are Maricela Woodall, Mondo de la Vega, and I'm Tammy Sue Baker. And now, direct from their home in the Ozarks, here's your hosts, Pastor Jim and Lori Baker.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. Thank you, Tammy Sue Baker.
Yes,
and
thank you, Tammy.
Welcome back to the Tom Horn special.
Yeah.
And
it's
always special when Tom Horn is in the house.
Amen.
And he's here.
If you missed yesterday, go back and watch it because it's that powerful. And we've been talking about Tom's newest book, The Messenger. Everybody wants this book. This is just the now book. And also, we have the DVDs, the final countdown, which is Tom, who is speaking on this DVD, along with Allie is speaking, and also Donna. And so you receive 6 hours on this two-disc collection, the final countdown, along with the book, The Messenger, for a donation of $45 to the ministry. And we're going to start right off with
Lori,
that because
this
it's so exciting.
New book is so important.
That's right.
That, Tom, that you've just written, because it's new message, it's up-to-date information, it's revelation now.
It sure is.
God gives us new revelation on old subjects. Yeah. The Bible is ancient. But it is new every day. This book is new, and it's revolutionary. And I'll tell you what, when he talks about the Great Tribulation period starts in 2025, how many days away is that?
That's about four years away. Yeah, 4 years away. But I want to tell you something.
That's powerful.
I can't believe how this God set this up for right now. And if you watch the programs, the previous programs, we have been talking about all the signs that are leading up all the way to where we are now. You're watching earthquake after earthquake, volcano after volcano taking place. I mean, if we had time, I can prove to you the earthquakes and volcanoes that are leading up all the way to Revelation 8. And when you study the Word of God and you begin to see all the signs that are leading all the way to the messenger, is gonna blow your mind. I'm trying to contain myself.
If you want to know the truth?
Because every time this team that I'm talking about, Dr. Tom Horn, Preacher Donna, and Allie Anderson,
that's right.
I'm telling you, God begins to reveal to you. Isn't it amazing that the feasts are not just some wonderful things we celebrate in the Passover? No, it's something so critical to understand that leads all the way up to the rapture and the end time events that can blow the Bible right open to understand the time that we're in. And you're so right. That's we good. May be the revelation generation. Well, guess what?
No.
We are that revelation
generation
because when you're watching all the signs of Matthew 24, and we're in it right now. They're not coming. We're in it right now. And you have been teaching about this all the way up to now. And how is it so timely that Dr. Tom Horn and the team are releasing this book right now?
That's right.
And the headlines are jumping out saying we're here now.
It's now. And that's why I had to go to prison to study. I had to get away. And Lord literally allowed this literally a billion-dollar ministry to be gone. To be stolen from me. And insane. It's just insane what happened. And yet those times with God is where I begin to study the revelation. And now I'm getting ready to actually publish the revelation from my notes for the last 20 years.
Absolutely.
And I'm excited about that. This talks about the things that are in the revelation. It talks about what's going on. It talks about secret information that Tom Horn and his team, and part of his team is here with us on the show today, Donna Hall and Allie Anderson Henderson. They're amazing people. His whole team is amazing.
They are.
He has a great team of people.
Yes.
That bless thousands of people, now millions of people, perhaps.
That's right.
On his new network, and he's on our network with their main, several of their main programs now. And we're excited because our network is growing like crazy, and it's time for all of us to be together.
Yes.
And to stand up.
Amen.
Because he's talking about the great tribulation period starting in 2025.
Let's welcome Dr. Tom Horn and Allie Anderson and Donna Howe. They are at the Morningside Gray Street studio, and we are still here at the Parsonage. And so we want to welcome you. We miss seeing that set. We miss being on that set. We can't wait to get back on that set and have you all come back.
Tom Horn,
us.
I think this book is amazing. You never stop amazing.
That's
me.
Right. True.
You, I'm going to probably go all over the place here for a little while, but you, I'm trying to figure out what the timing that was when you prophesied the Pope would step down.
Yeah, 2011. And actually the book that I did with Chris Putnam, if you recall, called Petrus Romanus, The Final Pope Is Here, in the book, I actually included that date that I saw Pope Benedict XVI stepping down in April of 2012. And then you might recall, you were on a different program, I think on TBN or something somewhere, the day that the Vatican announced in 2013 that Benedict was stepping down, but it was that very same day that they gave an interview with the New York Times, as well as publishing it in their own Vatican-owned El Observatorio Romano, that he had actually secretly resigned when he returned from a trip in March of 2012. It was made official in April and was accepted by the Roman Curia. And so, unknown to anybody in the world, and actually only a few cardinals, according to the New York Times article, were allowed to know that Benedict had actually secretly resigned on the very date that we published a year in advance in the book Petrus Romanus that Benedict was going to step down.
You research, and I believe you're a prophet, and you don't have to accept that if you don't like it, but I really believe you're a prophet. I believe that you have a voice of a prophet, and I believe that you heard from God. Mm-hmm. If I hadn't spent my years studying the revelation, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have revelation of revelation.
Right. That's
you
right.
study to show yeah. yourselves approved.
Amen.
You know, and you study, and you've come to the conclusion that the Pope was going to step down. You shocked even the Catholic world, I think. They
yeah.
knew it inside.
That's right.
But not very many of the outside Catholic Church mm-hmm. knew about it. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. Only a handful, according to the Vatican's press release and the New York Times, they kept it in what they called a strict reserve. Nobody was allowed to know it. And they started remodeling a building there at the Vatican that the nuns had been using to turn it into an apartment for the emeritus Pope Benedict. And they waited until in 2013 to actually make the official announcement that he had resigned. And then they said, but he had resigned at the end of March in 2012, which was the very date that we gave. And by the way, you asked about the term Petrus Romanus. That's from the final line in the ancient prophecy of the popes, a 900-year-old Catholic prophecy. Actually named the last pope, it used the title Petrus Romanus. And so that was where we came up with the title Petrus Romanus, the final pope is here.
Wow.
Okay, let's roll that B-roll.
So with all of that in mind, and given my personal exhaustive investigation into the Vatican, extensive research into the prophecy of the popes, and correct prediction regarding the resignation of Benedict before the fact, I have what some might call a bombshell announcement to make. I'm reaching out now to those friends in Rome
that assisted me in the past to confirm my belief that Pope Francis is either going to retire soon or he's going to be taken out of the way. I believe, as they suggested, that Francis was not canonically elected, as his namesake, by the way, originally predicted too, a man who is not canonically elected. Francis of Assisi said that. And the church members that helped me before, and the ones I've already mentioned in this presentation, I believe that all of that are only the tip of the iceberg of those who eventually are going to voice how illegitimate activity went on behind closed doors during the last papal election, and that for reasons that we do not yet understand, Francis was put in as a temporary placeholder until the real Pope 112, Petrus Romanus, could be installed. This too was in the news recently when a report was published by Sebastian Melyard, a Vatican correspondent in Rome, when he noted how a large array of conservative bishops fear that Francis is bypassing critical church doctrine, and they fear he has already gone too far. Even those cardinals, it says, who voted for Francis now want him to step down so that the Holy See's Secretary of State, Cardinal Pietro Parolin, can be elected the real Pope, end quote. But folks, those electors understand something else, too. Parolin's name means Peter the Roman from the final line of the prophecy of the popes.
Wow. And that's just a little bit, everybody. And that's
powerful. Tom, talk about that a little bit.
Yes, well, and of course, without going back through the whole story about when I was a young Christian and I died and my wife found me dead, and during that period of time when I had no breath, no pulse, I saw myself standing in front of a brilliant light. It's a long story. I've told it elsewhere. I won't repeat it now. But when I woke up from that moment, I had heard God saying to me, it's time for you to go back now, and you're not going to remember, which didn't make any sense. Why would God tell me something and then tell me I'm not going to be allowed to remember what it is? It didn't make any sense. I was praying about it every day, and then finally reading through Job one day when I read, in the nighttime, in deep sleep, in slumbering upon the bed, then God seals the instructions of the righteous within them in order to withdraw man from his purpose and to hide pride from man. And I immediately understood, based on that ancient scripture, that God had sealed information within me and that when the time was right, those revelations would come back. So in 2009, actually, is when in the middle of the night I went back into that place and saw the resignation of Pope Benedict at the exact date that he would resign. When I woke up from that, got it together with Chris Putnam. We started doing massive research into all of the different caveats of that story, the 900-year-old prophecy of the popes, all of that. Ultimately deciding that I was going to go ahead and put that date in the book. Talked about it on Sid Raw, talked about it on your program. I think yours was one of the very first programs I came on in which I really went out on a limb, as Sid said, and started naming this date when the Pope was going to resign. But here's an interesting thing. About a year and a half ago now, it happened again. I don't have any control over when this happens. I can only tell you that the night visions are very, very vivid. To me, they are more real than this world. I guess if somebody's never experienced this, they don't really understand what I mean. But when I come out of that vision, this world feels muted to me, kind of like the Matrix or something, right? Like we're living with shells over our eyes. That world is the real world, and it's far more vivid. If this is three or four dimensions, that's 10 or 20 dimensions, whatever it is. But about a year and a half ago, it happened again. And that was when I had the vision that wound up in the book, The Wormwood Prophecy, but also in this new book, The Messenger. And people had asked me, I'd been on numerous major programs, and they had asked me, well, what do these two things have to do with each other? the resignation of the Pope, the fulfillment of the 900-year-old Catholic prophecy, and then over here you're talking about the coming of Apophis fulfilling the wormwood prophecy of Revelation 8, an asteroid, the Pope. What do these have to do with each other? And up until recently, in fact, right up until I started writing the book, The Messenger, I kept saying, I actually don't know. I don't know how to answer that question because they just seem to me to be two pieces of a much larger puzzle that I can't quite discern yet. And then it came to me when I started working on The Messenger, and this is on, the full story, by the way, is on that DVD that you're giving away. It dawned on me one day, and I thought, oh, wow, how did I not see this before now? But it's because the wormwood prophecy, as well as the rise of the false prophet who helps the Antichrist, both happen in the middle of the tribulation period. Both of those things become manifest in the middle of the Great Tribulation period, and then it was like a light went on in my head. And by the way, the reason that I named this book The Messenger is because in antiquity, both in the Bible and also in the pagan world, the ancients viewed comets and asteroids as the messengers of the gods. For instance, in Matthew 2:2, the Magi come to Bethlehem to find he that is born king of the Jews. Well, how did they know somebody was being born king of the Jews? They said, for we have seen his star, that's the Greek word asteroid. We have seen his asteroid in the east, and we have followed it here to Bethlehem to find he that is born king of the Jews. So they viewed an asteroid as an omen from God heralding the arrival of nobility. Now here's a question to consider. If an asteroid heralded the first advent, the first coming of Jesus Christ, then might an asteroid also herald the second coming of Jesus Christ? And in 2025, people are going to be able to start looking up into the sky with even a just modest telescope, and they're going to be able to see the asteroid Apophis racing toward the earth. And I even wonder if this doesn't have something to do with Matthew 24:30. After Jesus gave his disciples all of these signs, some of which Mondo was talking about a moment ago, all these signs that would build towards the second coming of Jesus Christ. But in Matthew 24:30, he ends by saying, but then shall all of the tribes of the earth mourn when they shall see the sign of the Son of Man coming in the heavens. And I'm only putting this out there that it's quite possibly that that sign is going to be connected with the arrival of the messenger, in this case, Apophis, heralding the second coming of Jesus Christ.
You say that Apophis is wormwood. You think it's the wormwood
that's talked about in Revelation.
I do. That's what that book is all about, The Messenger, making my case, going down through line by line, item by item, all of the fall Jewish feasts that are connected to the second coming of Christ in the year 2025, unfolding exactly to the day, 3.5 years before the arrival of Apophis. There's other things about 2025 we can get into if you want to that comes from the scientific community and so on. Here's the other thing. Consider what NASA, who just recently has been saying, well, we're going to give you an all clear. We don't think Apophis is going to strike the earth. Yesterday on TV, I cited several top 100 scientists who refute that, who believe that you cannot say that with any certainty whatsoever. In fact, it's going to come so close, it's actually statistically more likely than not that it is going to strike the earth. And by the way, I should assert here that I am not setting dates. What Tom Horn is saying, so not Jim Baker, or Lori, or Mondo, or Ali, or Donna, or anybody else, what Tom Horn is saying is that as a result of all of this research that you're going to discover in the book, The Messenger, and on that DVD that they're giving away with it, is I came to believe that it is more likely than not that 2025 represents the start of the Great Tribulation period. And it'll be 3.5 years after that when Apophis arrives, which I believe, Tom Horn believes, is going to strike the earth in fulfillment of Revelation chapter 8. Actually, the first four trumpets. It's going to fulfill all four of those trumpets. Now, consider what NASA has been willing to admit. Number one, that Apophis is going to be the largest of such objects to approach the earth in our known history. Neil deGrasse Tyson, everybody is saying the largest one. It's a monster, 370 meters wide. In other words, almost four NFL football fields big. It is traveling at 28,000 miles per hour. It measures an estimated 20 million metric tons. If it does impact the Earth, it is going to be equivalent, NASA says, to 65,000 of the atomic bombs that we dropped on Hiroshima at the end of World War II, sinking the Japanese island of Nagasaki. Another way to compare that, I think it was Neil deGrasse who said that it will be equivalent to every nuclear warhead that is on Earth today, all of them, everything owned by the United States, China, Russia, every nuclear country, all put in one place going off all at one time. It could literally crack the mantle of the Earth. And get this, Jim, you had Steve Quayle on your program recently. What I had seen in the vision, here's another thing I had not put together until I talked to Steve. What I saw in the vision, one part of it was I'm on a hill somewhere, and there are thousands of people all around me, and we are running, and everybody is screaming and crying out to God to deliver them. And I look back over my shoulder as this asteroid is coming down. It impacts the Earth, knocks us all off of our feet. And the Earth is literally shaking. And I can see back over my shoulder like a tidal wave, a tsunami, is coming up over the top of this hill. And I know that we are not going to escape this. Just then, something, I don't know if it was an angel or whatever, something reaches under my arms and lifts me up into the air, and now my point of view changes. And I'm looking down, and I can see these tsunamis, tidal waves going out across the ocean, wiping out all these people in coastal cities. But I could see that this has come down right where NASA says. NASA says if it strikes the Earth in 2029, it's most likely going to impact the Earth along the California and Mexico coastal range, right there where the ground meets the sea. So a highly densely populated area. But one thing that I had not thought about at all until I was doing a program with Steve Quayle is that he said yes. And by the way, that is also the corner of the Cascadia subduction zone, an area where you have a dozen of the most dangerous, most powerful volcanoes on the face of the Earth. And it was like a light went on in my head, because what I saw in the vision as I was lifted up into the air looking down was volcanoes going off everywhere. And all of this debris was being kicked up into the upper atmosphere, both from the impact of the asteroid, but also the volcanic ash and stuff going up into the atmosphere. And it darkened out a third part of the heavens, which is the fourth trumpet of Revelation chapter 8. So I know you had Steve on your program recently, but that is what I am telling the world I believe is coming, and that it is more likely than not that it marks the beginning in 2025 of the Great Tribulation period.
Wow, this powerful. We keep saying this is powerful.
You weren't being raptured. Forgive me, Lori.
No.
I was just wondering about what you got up above. Were you in a rapture? Were you being raptured in this vision you saw?
It's possible, but I didn't experience it that way. It was just a point of view. It was God allowing me to see what was unfolding on the earth at that moment in time.
The revelation, I don't think anybody on earth hardly gets it. Mm. I think Tom Horn gets it.
Yeah.
I think Jim Baker gets it.
Yes.
Not saying that I'm special. Get it. Yep. I've studied it. Yep. And that's, both if you study the revelation...
Yeah.
You've got fire from the sky. You've got all these things, the sun, the moon going dark at times. Mm-hmm. Every plate moving out of its place. Mm-hmm. And so here it's, and man has cursed God. Yeah. It's like as it was in the day of Noah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. America has cursed God.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes.
Look what it's happening.
Yes.
Our president brings us to a point where we have a power over all the fuel of the world. We become self-supporting, self-sufficient with oil and gas.
Correct.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Is that right?
Yes.
And what does the president do that as it gets elected? He cuts it off, cuts the pipelines off, cuts everything off. And now we're gonna be the underdog again.
Yeah. Mm.
Somebody hates America. Beside the devil. The devil hates America. I know that. And so we're in this place that's happening right now. Mm-hmm. And what Tom Horn is saying, you've got to listen. And this whole book is teaching. And the people that are with him today helped actually write the book.
That's right. And Donna Howell and Allie Anderson Henson, along with Derek Gilbert and Sharon Gilbert, they helped as well. And Gary Stearman. This is excellent. This is phenomenal. You're going to find this so fascinating, so interesting. And this isn't science fiction. This is the real deal. This is, we're trying to help you prepare your heart.
This is
for
revelation
what's going on and what's to come.
This is revelation truth.
Yes, that's right.
And this is from the Word of the Living God, from Genesis to Revelation.
That's right.
This, these people are students of the Word.
Amen.
Yeah. And I'm so much, Tom, that I want everybody to read the book. Mm-hmm. As the author, why should people read this book? What makes you feel they should read and listen to the teaching? Why is this teaching all come together? Would you share that with me?
Yeah, well, for me personally, it started as a revelation, a dramatic revelation. Not just like, hey, I got a great idea for a book. I mean, this started with literally a middle of the night ecstasis, a moment that the Bible talks about in which you are caught into a different dimension in which God is in control and gives you revelations that shall shortly come to pass hereafter, as, you know, to use a little King James lingo. And but look, we are racing toward 2025. This new election has so many different elements to it that it's hard to wrap your mind around Representative Emanuel Cleaver, not even knowing what he's doing when he opens up the congressional prayer for the 117th Congress, praying in the name of the monotheistic God Brahma and the God known by many names by many different faiths, not even going into the fact that he doesn't even know what he's talking about. It's not monotheistic. It's a Hindu God. It's polytheism. But setting that aside, it was highly appropriate. Why? Well, because the new vice president, Kamala Devi Harris, she's named after the Hindu gods of illusion and destruction. So is her sister. Donna's doing research right now on how nations are tied. Often their destinies are tied to the names of those who are placed in authority over other individuals. We've got rabbis right now talking about the meaning of the name of Joe Biden in Hebrew. One rabbi saying his name literally means alas, judgment. Another one, the extension of the hand towards a promised son. Well, what promised son are we talking about? I think it was heralded in December of this last year, and for me, I was almost aghast when you had churches out there talking about, oh, the alignment of Jupiter and Saturn created this temporary bright star. Yay, it's the star of Jesus. No, it isn't. It's the star of Jupiter-Saturn. It's what's prophesied on the Great Seal of the United States, old Saturn's reign, taken from the prophecies of the Kume Sibyl, which predict at the end of time Jupiter is going to usurp the authority of Jehovah over the heavens for a temporary period of time while his son Apollo comes to reign on planet Earth. That is what we are racing toward right now. And so let me, for people, why should they buy this book? Why should they read it, to answer your question? It's not just going to be what Tom Horn says or believes. I also get into, like, government reports. Over a decade ago, the highest intelligence agencies in the United States, working with the highest intelligence agencies across Europe, like 25 nations, they published a report. Anybody can Google it and read it. They published a report called Global Governance 2025. That's the target date, 2025, at a critical juncture. Now, what was this report about? What they were trying to determine, get this, is what trigger event could be, or events plural, could be set into motion that would suddenly cause all of the nations of the world to have to set aside their differences from one another and rush together in mutual defense of one another against an unprecedented threat. So what could cause us to have to form a global government by the year 2025? Well, guess what they looked at? They saw the incoming of an asteroid that suddenly becomes obvious that it's going to impact the Earth, so we all have to come together. They saw the emergence of a CDC-announced pandemic. They saw all of these things putting together. They saw, by the way, the rise of racial tension. Everything that you're seeing right now, they forecast over a decade ago as the causal events that will ultimately lead to a totalitarian one-world government by the year 2025. 25 years ago, two professors of history, William Strauss and Neil Howe, wrote a book I recommend everybody read. It's not a religious book. It's a secular book. But it's a book, it's called The Fourth Turning, in which they examined over 500 years of Western history, how empires rise, how they become great, how they fall apart, how they finally become the fall of Rome, and they fall into decay. They took all of that information, and then they examined American history. And in 1997, they saw us in what they call the third turning. There's four turnings. Each turning represents a cycle of time. They saw us in the third turning then. But guess what they saw? They saw that by the year 2025, America would enter into the fourth turning. And they said this would be the most dangerous time in the history of the world. They believed that America would ultimately arrive in a socialist, Marxist, totalitarianistic form of government by 2025. This would be spearheaded, they said, around that same time by the election of who they called the Gray Champion. Gray meaning gray hair. Possibly the oldest president in American history, who would help move us into a socialist Marxist state. They predicted this over 25 years ago. Now, by the way, why should anybody pay attention to what they speculated 25 years ago? Because in 97, several years before 9-1-1, they start the book out, and they're saying, here's what we think's going to happen first. We believe that America is going to be attacked by terrorists. This book was in print in 97. Attacked by terrorists, who are going to commandeer large airplanes and crash them into iconic structures and locations. We think that sometime after that, there is going to be a pandemic that is going to start curtailing individual liberties and freedoms. We believe that along the same way, there are going to be riots in the streets with a new race war in America. They wrote this in 97. It is literally playing out line by line, item by item, exactly as they seen it. Therefore, we might want to pay attention to what they also said about the arrival of the Gray Champion, the oldest American president, who puts America on path towards a socialist, Marxist, totalitarian government by the year, the apex year. It's in their book, 2025.
This is really something.
That is powerful
this is
information.
Something. Yes.
And I just want everyone to get this book.
Yes, The Messenger.
Our time's going away for this day already. If you haven't ordered Tom Horn's brand new book, The Messenger, mm-hmm. and this is predicting 2025 is the year this messenger comes to Earth, which is an asteroid. And it's the asteroid the Bible calls Wormwood. And what does the government call it?
Apophis.
Apophis.
Yes.
So it's so important that you understand what's happening, that you're aware. How are you going to be aware? You're going to have to be aware by knowing the word of the living God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why you need to read what God's people are hearing from God. He says, I'm not doing anything that I don't give to my prophets. He says, I always tell the prophets what I'm going to do. And that's why I believe Tom Horn is a messenger from God. I believe that his book called The Messenger mm-hmm. is a book that is the warning of the last day. And he believes that the tribulation begins in the year 2025.
Asteroid.
The asteroid hits 2029.
Yes, sir.
Is what he's saying today. So I want you to get the book. It has the teaching. Mm-hmm. It has all
we have the book,
four or five of them teaching in the book, mm-hmm. in the tapes. And the it's DVDs. Going to be something you need to know why that we have to know all about the Feast of the Trumpets, the mm-hmm. Day of Atonement,
so
all
important.
The other things that we need to really understand, the Day yeah. of Pentecost, and
that's right.
all these things that are meaningful.
Absolutely.
You know, God means everything.
Question for Allie. Allie, what are the future feasts? When you talk about the feast, what are the future feasts?
The future feasts are actually the ones that have yet to be fulfilled. So Donna talked a lot yesterday about how the spring feasts were fulfilled. And that was done while Jesus was here on the earth. And while Jesus was on the earth, he acknowledged the future feasts, but he didn't fulfill them. And the fact that he has fulfilled the first part of the feasts and left these others undone lets us know that he has set a precedent that he will come and fulfill these feasts. And the concept of these feasts is very inspirational because the truth is that they are found at the end of Revelation. So when we're looking at the book of Revelation and we see all these very frightening things, and as a quick side note, I will say that if you haven't read Revelation because you're intimidated by it and you feel like it will go over your head like so many people do, pray for God to reveal his word to you and sit down and read it. Try again. You might be surprised in our modern day how many things you start to put together and how many correlations you see. You may start looking at the world around you differently. You may look at the book of Revelation differently. And let me just say that the book of Revelation, I know it may not seem this way because it's full of very scary events, but it is God's love story to us all throughout it. It is God ramping things up, saying, will you turn to me now? And the answer is, man repented not of his idolatry and his blasphemy. And God does a little bit more and says, will you turn to me now? And the answer is again the same and the same. But the point of it is that God has made us the most beautiful promises. We're talking about some very scary content here. And yet at the end, at the very end, the book of Revelation closes with the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. And it is the most beautiful promise that God has made to us. It's the promise of everything being new. And when I talk about the actual prophetic implications of the feast, I can get into a little more detail with that. But Revelation is beautiful, and it shows us what God's endgame plan for his people are. And that is the concept and the point of the future feasts.
You know, I love that, Allie. I love that so much because I'm sitting here and I'm listening to everything and listening to Jim and listening to Dr. Tom Horn soaking it all in. And at the same time, as a believer, as one who's really studied and believes all this, at the same time, my heart for a split second here or there, and maybe yours too, gets a little scared. And what Allie just told you just brings such peace, such beautiful peace, mm-hmm. when you realize that God is putting all this together in the book of Revelation.
Yeah, so, I want to know more about the feast at the end of the Revelation, because mm-hmm. I'm a Revelation preacher, and I know it ends good.
That's Amen. Right.
You know, and this is good. And this is in this book that tells us the tribulation beginning, mm-hmm. but it also tells us about the victory of the final
right.
quest, the final time mm-hmm. with and the coming of the Lord
That's
Jesus
right.
Christ. What about the Feast of the Trumpets? Do they have a prophetic implication?
Yeah,
they do. They actually are prophetically where we are on the timeline of God's plan right now. So the Feast of Trumpets historically, and I'm going to be pretty quick about this, Feast of Trumpets historically was toward the end of the harvest season. The workers would stand at the ready with their trumpets, and when they saw the new moon arrive, they would blow the trumpets. Now, the new moon meant that it was a new month and a new year, and it would mean that harvest time is ending, and it would call the workers in from the field to a time of rest and a time of Sabbath. Well, prophetically, this is exactly where we are. We understand that the trumpet is going to sound soon. The times, the signs are there. These people historically who would watch for the sign of the new moon could probably accurately predict what day that moon was going to show up. And yet, they weren't allowed to sound the trumpet until the new moon actually did. So where we are prophetically is we're waiting for the sound of that trumpet. And what it's going to mean is that harvest time is over. We're called into a time of rest and a time of Sabbath. But here's the scary thing. When that trumpet sounds, harvest time is over, so get busy now, because we don't know when it's going to happen, but we know that it's soon. And so if you're harvesting, if you're working in the field, which every Christian should be, we need to get busy. There is not any time to twiddle our thumbs, because we understand that time is very short. That trumpet is going to sound soon.
That's wow. right.
Amen.
So wow. good.
Wow.
The
harvest
the,
time.
Pouring of the water during the Feast of the Tabernacle. Can you explain that to us? Allie, I can.
Now, the pouring of the water jumps up to the Feast of Tabernacles, but I will tell you that the Feast of Tabernacles, you know, Tom mentioned yesterday that there was a temporary booth, a hut that they would live in, and they would pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And the reason for this was to honor the fact that God had delivered the Israelites from Egyptian slavery, and he had taken them on a journey where during this period of time, he provided for every one of their needs, and eventually he took them to the Promised Land. So in a memorial to his deliverance and his provision and his keeping his promise, they would build these temporary huts to live in. They would pilgrimage to Jerusalem, and they would light the entire city. They would light the streets, they would light around their huts, and they would light the temple. And Jerusalem would be visible from miles away because of the illumination in the city. While they were there, they would also pour water. It was called the ceremony of the water pouring. And what it was first of all, a material sacrifice, because the Feast of Tabernacles was before the rainy season. So this was a material sacrifice. We pour out the water in the hopes that God will send more during this upcoming rainy season. But they would also quote scripture from Isaiah, which foretold the coming of the Messiah. And so the lighting of the temple and the lighting of the streets and the pouring of the water were things that they would do while they were praying, God, send us the Messiah. Now, here's how Jesus interacted with this feast while he was on the earth. People don't realize that it was during the Feast of Tabernacles on the day of the great Hosanna. This was the particular day he did it on. It was called the day of the great Hosanna. Jesus walks into the middle of these people. I'm going to read this. Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Then later the same day he said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So these people are pouring out their water, they're lighting things, they're praying, God, send us the Messiah, send us the Messiah. And Jesus is standing right there in the midst of them saying, I'm right here, what else? What else are you praying for? Because I'm right here. And they unfortunately didn't get it. They didn't understand that he was announcing himself as the answer to the prayer. prayer. He was telling them in coded language that he is the Messiah they've been praying for.
Wow. Tom,
beautiful.
It's vital that the church resume the teaching of prophetic matter and these great feasts that the girls are talking about today and what they talked about yesterday. Mm-hmm. This is so important.
Tie all this together.
I'm running out of time again, but what you bring all this teaching into the video, mm-hmm. into the book.
That's right.
And yet it ends with the feast, the victory at the end. The revelation ends in victory.
Amen.
Just people, you know, if you read a book that's scary to get through, sometimes you say, "Oh, I'll get to the end of it and hope that it's ends well." Yeah. Well, Revelation ends well for those who love the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Tom, talk to us about this whole book and why you brought in the feasts and all into this subject.
The reason that I did that, Jim, is because Jesus set a precedent in his first coming. He fulfilled the spring feasts as Donna and Allie. And by the way, maybe the audience that might not know these two young women are starting to understand why I often refer to them as my secret weapon. I unleashed them on this subject matter. I gave them the great challenge. Show me how Jesus fulfilled the spring feast at his first coming, because that then sets the precedent that he will fulfill the fall feast at his second coming. And once again, all three of those feasts, Pentecost, the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Tabernacles, are all in the year 2025, exactly 3.5 years before the arrival of Apophis. So it's one of the reasons I argue that it's more likely than not that 2025 represents the beginning of the tribulation period. I also cited science reports a moment ago. I cited the book, The Fourth Turning. Here's one more, because I know we're out of time. 2,200 years ago, 200 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, the Essenes, who wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls in Qumran, they were the most accurate prophets in all of history. Here's just an example. They prophesied 200 years before the birth of Jesus that a man named Herod would become king and then he would turn bad, that the Messiah would arrive exactly when Jesus did, that the Messiah would raise the dead, which is an idea that's not even found in the Old Testament, that the Messiah would die in 32 AD, which is exactly when Jesus did die, that the Messiah would also die for the Gentiles' redemption, which is not something the scribes and Pharisees even foresaw. The Messiah would begin what they called an age of grace. Furthermore, following his ascension, a Benjamite would explain everything to the Gentiles, and his knowledge would be in the synagogue of the Gentiles, which is obviously the Apostle Paul. That list goes on and on. These people were mind-blowingly accurate. Why does that matter? Because they also prophesied something else, that mankind will enter its final jubilee in the year 2025. They prophesied that 2,200 years ago, and we do cite a lot of their research in this book and another book that's coming soon.
This is incredible.
Amen.
Mind-blowing, incredible.
Did you just hint that a new book's going to come out?
Yeah, the new book will be coming out probably around June of this year. I can even tell you the title. It's called Zeitgeist 2025, and it's a whole, basically, volume two with a lot of other new revelations. Allie was going to add something to all this.
Just want to add the final year of Jubilee, the beginning of Jubilee. Okay, the beginning of the final great year of Jubilee and the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. This is our message of hope. It's from Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." This is the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles, the wedding supper of the Lamb. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. This is the year of Jubilee. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that is athirst the fountain of water of life freely. There's the final water addressing. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. There's the final booth being addressed. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the lamp is the light thereof. The Lamb is the light thereof. That's the final addressing of the light. This is the promise that comes through the book of Revelation. This is the final Feast of Tabernacles. The same way Jesus fulfilled the other feasts while he was here before, this is where you're going if you're one of his people.
Right. Amen. Oh.
Wow.
Oh, man. This is so good.
Oh,
just open up Revelation 21 and read for yourself what Allie just read.
You have the most shocking book probably written in years. But you have the most wonderful ending.
Amen. The hope.
Thank you, Lord.
The
and this
hope
is what
the
it's
Lord
all about.
Yes, him.
And you know, and I happen to know this book called The Revelation. I live it. I live in it. I've lived in it for many years. And it is so wonderful to hear the girls talk about it, teach about it,
yes.
and Tom and
beautiful.
All. And this material we're sending out today, this will prepare you for what's coming.
That's right.
I'll tell you what, this is one in a billion books.
That's right.
There's nothing like it, actually.
No.
So it's one in one.
That's right. Seriously, it really is. Along with the DVD teachings of Tom and Allie and Donna, you receive 6 hours of DVD. It's a 2-disc, so 6 hours of DVD teaching, along with Tom's newest book, The Messenger. I'm just telling you, this is just so amazing, and I'm grateful to you, Tom Horn, and to Donna and Allie. I'm grateful to you that you're helping prepare our hearts for the days right now that actually we're living in right now.
Absolutely.
and the days to come in the next few years. It's vitally important. And if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, like Allie was talking about just a minute ago, now is the time to know him. It's time to come home, prodigals. Mm-hmm. It's time to come back to him. He is your Redeemer.
Yes,
he's a lover of your soul. And this he shows us all of these things, and we go through all these things in the book of Revelation, and Tom is written about it, Jim is preached about it and is writing about it.
And I want you folks to be ready.
Yes.
And that's what this show's on for.
That's
to prepare people. And that's why we promote books. And I want you to keep ordering your books. I want you to put them on a shelf in your house.
Keep educating yourself. Keep everything fresh.
Don't
get stagnant.
And if you'll study what I say, and if you believe in the prophet's message, if you believe that God uses his prophets, mm-hmm. if you believe that God speaks today, then you need to get this book from Tom Horn, The Messenger, and it is, or The Message. It is so powerful. And the final countdown comes with it, which is, how many hours is that?
Six hours. We're saying it together in unison.
Yeah.
Six hours of teaching.
Of video teaching.
Yeah, that's right.
Of the family teaching the family from Tom Horn.
Now remember, I like to call it the friends and family offer.
Yes.
But Marcella, tell us real
quick. Have 3 of the Messenger books, along with 3 of the 2-set DVDs, which is 6 hours. We just barely skim through the topics that are discussed in this 6-hour-long DVD teaching, The Final Countdown, along with the brand new book, The Messenger. For a donation of $85, you'll receive 3 of the books, along with 3 of the DVD teaching. And we urge you, Be alert, be ready, but prepare those around you. Prepare those, your loved ones, your friends. Now is the time. We are living in exciting times, but we must be ready. That's a donation of $85 to the ministry. That helps us to continue to broadcast the gospel, continue to bring guests like Dr. Tom Horn, Donna Howe, and Allie Anderson to the broadcast of The Jim Baker Show. Call us at 1-888-988-1588. And remember, you can go to the website, jimbakershow.com as well. And we now have credit card processing available where you can place all your offers to make it easy for you. So we pray that you will stand with our ministry. But now is the time to understand the days that we're living in. It's exciting times.
It's exciting times. And that God chose each one of us to live at this moment of time. Amen. He could have chosen any time for you to be alive. And yet he chose right now, as things are, as Allie said it so eloquently, wrapping up.
Yes.
God is wrapping all this up.
If this book is correct, in 4 years, the tribulation will begin. And so this is stuff that's coming just around the corner.
That's right.
Yes.
And we've got to be ready for what God is saying. It's got to prepare now.
Our time is up. And if I may say one thing, is that, you know, some of this may seem far-fetched to you, but think about where we're living right now and the things that have happened so rapidly. I mean, daily, things are happening daily that it's the book of Revelation, like never before. And it's ramping up fast. And if you don't recognize it, you need to ask the Lord to remove the blinders off of your eyes so you can see what really is going on today and educate yourself. These are tools that we're giving you to educate yourself. I mean, for $45 to learn all about this, that's nothing. And that's for you to know that you know him, that you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. It's your eternity. It's your forever and ever and ever and ever.
You know, next week or two, I'm going to bring us all the way to the rapture chapter, which is chapter 11 of Revelation. And so we're there. Yes. And so my most important work is to give out the revelation.
Yes, amen.
And I'm going through a review of it, but I hope this year I can teach the whole thing again and tape it for our people new teaching of it.
That'd be
but
great.
It'll be the same.
Get back on Grace Street and start teaching again, honey. That's what we're going to believe for.
I'll teach it from my new book, which will be everything that I've learned about the Revelation, all in one big book. But please order The Messenger with Tom Horn and the Final Countdown video.
Yes.
For a gift of $45, or you can get the set of three for how much?
Yes, for a donation of $85 to the ministry, and that includes the shipping and handling.
Thank you, Tom Horn and Donna and Allie.
Yes.
And God loves you. He really does. Bye-bye for today.
Bye-bye. We love you.
Thank you for watching today's program. We need your support now more than ever. Call us today, 1-888-988-1588. That number again is 1-888-988-1588. You can also write to The Jim Baker Show at P.O. Box 7330, Branson, Missouri 65615. Or you can make your donation and order of other products online at our website, jimbakershow.com. Thank you for your continued prayers and financial support. It's because of partners like you that we can continue to broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.